Joining us now, he's from Augusta University, and he is your individual men's golf champion. Brock Everett joins us. Brock, welcome into the golf shop.
How's it going, guys? Thanks for having me on.
Oh, it's going fine for us. It's obviously going awesome for you. Tell us a little bit about winning the championship, my man.
I mean, it was just pretty crazy. Obviously, I hadn't, and I'm sure it's been out there that I hadn't had an individual collegiate win yet. So I had a bunch of top 10s, I think somewhere in like 17 top 10s or something like that. And so pretty sweet to be able to finish it off in my last collegiate event to get the NCAA championship, honestly.
Yeah,
very, very cool.
I mean, did you feel like you snuck up on them? I mean, like the ninja golf assassin, maybe?
Not really. I mean, I've been playing good golf for a long time. I had a really good year last year. I was ranked as high as 24th last year and finished like 33rd in the country. So I've been playing good golf for a long time. I struggled in the fall a little bit. But, I mean, my last few events have really been playing very well. So I knew if I just kept that momentum going through with the Nationals, I could make some noise. And then, obviously, the goal was to win an event. So I went there and I was able to accomplish my goal, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, you know, not bad for a mic drop at the end of your career. But, you know, obviously very consistent, too. I mean, 70, 70, 70, 71 for 7 under par gets you into a playoff with Brandon Mancino of Auburn. And you had to do a little magic on the playoff hole, didn't you?
I did. I pulled my tee ball a little right. But, again, on that hole, I was not ever taking it close to that water. I was always playing it about 35, 40 yards right of the water. So if I was going to hit it, I wanted to miss it right. And I ended up missing it in the spot where I was just able to give myself a wedge in my hand. And I've been hitting my wedges well for about the last few months now. I've been working really hard on them. And so I felt just as confident from 240 yards to that back pin, hitting a 3-iron than hitting a wedge from about 85, 90 yards. So, it just ended up being a perfect number for me. I was able to hit it pretty close and make the putt, obviously. So, yeah, very cool.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you've been working toward this dream and you've been playing well, but like you said, the win hasn't come your way. And then all of a sudden, in the biggest event you can possibly play in college golf, you're heading to a playoff. What was that like?
Yeah, what's the state of mind there?
The trip back to the 18th tee. I mean, I knew you were going to win because you're left-handed. I mean, because I'm left-handed, and lefties are just superior in every possible way. So there's a kinship here. I knew you were going to win, but when you were that trip you had to make, all of a sudden there's a playoff. You're heading back to 18. Take us through that journey from knowing you were going to be in a playoff to where you stood over the ball.
Well, so going up 18 on the whole back nine, I didn't want coach to tell me where I was at, and I didn't know where I was at. I had no idea what the score was, but I could obviously tell from the cameras following me around, the crowds following me around, that I felt like I was in the lead. And so in my head, I thought that I was one or two ahead. I wasn't 100% positive, but I thought I was leading. And so then we get up to 18, and I hit that wedge pretty close. I had about 8 to 10 feet for birdie. And so I told coach, I was like, I got two putts to win right now. And coach says, no, you got to make that to win. That was a shock right there. As I'm stepping up to the green, I thought I was ahead. I definitely in my head thought I was ahead. So I stepped up there, and it didn't change the way I approached a shot. I still thought I hit a good putt, just hit it a little too hard. So it was just kind of crazy to go from thinking I only had two putts to win and then go back to that tee and have to play the hole again in the playoff. So we drive by, but I knew that I just needed to stick to my game plan, just keep giving myself good looks. I loved the 18th hole. I think I played it 2 or 3 under for the week. So I thought it was a good hole setting up for me to go back and do a playoff for. And I was able to make birdie, which is what you have to do on a par 5 in the playoff. And, yeah, I mean, rest is history, I guess.
So were you in the final group? I forget. Were you in the final or the second to last group?
I was in the final group.
Yes.
The individuals went off after the final team group.
Okay. Okay, I gotcha. So you were actually playing behind Clemson's Bryson Nimmer, who was leading the tournament, right?
Well, no, he was in a different group because Clemson wasn't in the top 3 teams, so he was finished well before I was done.
Okay, because I was trying to figure out a hole. I was wondering because I knew you weren't playing with him, and I was gonna be like, well, if you were playing with him, you knew he was not playing well, so that's where you might have thought you had a 1 or 2 shot lead going in. But yeah, so interesting.
Coach told me on 9 because I wanted to know what I was at on 9 because I shot 1 under on the front, and So I was at 7 under total, and I knew that he started the day at 9, or what did he start at, 10 or 11? I knew he was ahead of me, and I just wanted to know how much work I needed to do on the back nine. And the coach tells me, oh, no, you're one ahead right now. You're leading. And so I was like, that was also a game-changing moment right there. I was like, oh, my gosh, I got the lead with 9 holes to go here. Just got to keep doing what I'm doing, obviously. It doesn't change anything. So that's why I didn't want to know the rest of the back nine, because I knew that I was going to be in it no matter what I did. So just had to keep playing smart and playing conservative and playing consistent, honestly.
All right, so now this begs the question. Going forward, I'm assuming you're turning professional. As you turn professional, or playing other big events during the summer here before you turn professional, it begs the question, mm-hmm. are you going to actually start looking at leaderboards more now to know where you stand?
Well, I've never believed in looking at leaderboards in the first place, because it's not useful information when you're out on the golf course. Because unless you're with 4 holes to go and you need to make up 3 shots, there's no difference of whether you're 2 back or 2 ahead with 18 holes to play. You know, it's just not really useful information, and it shouldn't change the way that you play. So I try not to ever look at leaderboards. I just kind of wanted to know after 9 holes, because I didn't think that I'd gain that much ground. But then I found out that I'm leaving the tournament, and I was like, wow, that's a big change right there. So normally I don't try to look at leaderboards. I just wanted to know after 9, and then didn't want to know the rest of the day.
Well, we're talking to Brock Everett, who just won the national championship as an individual in the golf. You got Carston Creek Golf Course down in Stillwater. You played so well, 70-70, 70-71. Had you ever played there before? What was it about this course that worked out for you, that fit your eye? Is it a left-handed course? Do I need to relocate and suck less at this sport?
Maybe. I don't know. I just thought it's a course that is very visually demanding, but it's pretty wide. There are wide areas that you can hit a tee shot. There's about 60 yards between the trees in most places. Mm. But the difference is for this course is that you've got so much brush, and you got all the tall native grass that if you miss your ball out of that 60-yard wide area, you're going to be re-teeing, because you don't know if you're going to find your ball, and you don't even know if you want to find your ball. So it was really about keeping it in play off the tee, and I didn't hit one ball into the native grass, which I wouldn't be surprised if I was one of the only players that did it the whole week. I was just able to keep driving and playing all week and give myself opportunities to just keep making pars and throwing a few birdies here and there. So I played Carston before at regionals 2 or 3 years ago, so I had a little experience with the course. And I just knew that it's a mental trick, really, just telling yourself that these areas are huge to hit it to. You just gotta remind yourself that you're still just playing golf and you're still just trying to hit your targets. And just because there's so much native grass around, it can't affect the way that you play. So I think I had a big mental edge on Carston, just knowing that it was a big area to hit to. You just had to tell yourself that and just swing normally, swing like you would on a wide open golf course, really.
You sound like a guy who wins golf tournaments every week. I mean, you went into this thing with no national ranking. You know, you weren't on anybody's radar, frankly, that this was that you were going to be a contender. And you seem to have, you know, mastered this game and the approach to it. Where does that come from?
It's just been a lot of hard work on mental routines and mental consistency. Like when I first got to school, I just didn't have really any kind of consistent mental mindset. And it wasn't until I just kind of took a look in the mirror and trying to figure out what's going to make it sustainable for me and consistent for me to keep thinking about on the golf course. And it just boils down to picking good targets and committing to your swings, because that's all you can do. And for 4 days, I can honestly say I committed to basically every single golf shot. And in my mind, that's success. And even if I hadn't won, I would have felt like that was success, because that's really all you can control at the end of the day is the effort that you put into each individual golf shot and making sure that it's your best effort. And I felt I did that for 4 days. So even if I hadn't gotten the first place victory, like I still would have felt like that week was a success. So it was nice to obviously throw the victory on top of it. But I felt I did a very good job for 4 days managing my emotions and making sure that I was committing to every shot 100%. So definitely great on that end for sure.
Good gracious. I want to be like you when I grow up. you are definitely a mature for your age, an old soul, I think.
Probably. I can see that.
All right. So what's next for Brock Everett?
I am actually playing the Kimball Tour this summer, so I'm up in Canada right now. I'm actually driving through Victoria from the course that we're playing this week. So I did the tournament last week. I had a really quick turnaround and didn't play too well in Vancouver. It was just a rough week, and now I've got three more events coming up in a row here. So playing up in Canada, and then I've got an exemption into the John Deere Classic, which I'm really looking forward to. It's going to be a sweet week back in my home state of Iowa, playing with all those guys over there. And then from there, we'll see what happens. Dust hasn't quite settled yet, so it'll be fun to see, though. I'm excited.
All right, see, I promised I wasn't going to mention Iowa unless you did. Did you happen to hang out at all last summer at the Solheim Cup? Greatest sports event I've ever attended.
Well, that's my home course. It's Des Moines Golf.
Oh, come on!
I've played there my whole life. Des Moines Golf is my home club.
Well, your home course, your home city, your home state did the world proud. I mean, I've been to every sporting event, Super Bowls, Game Sevens. The Solheim Cup was by far the best sporting event I've ever been to.
Isn't it awesome? It was just so much fun to watch on TV. That was such a cool event, and it was so cool to be on my home course too. But from what I heard, it was just an awesome, well-run event. It was so cool.
Well, and the state fair at the same time, so I got to eat like a lot of things on a stick.
And you got to see the butter cow.
I got to see the butter cow. Yeah, I had they had a rib on a stick wrapped in bacon. I mean, if it had been a cottage, I would have rented it for the whole summer.
Welcome to Iowa. That's us right there.
Well, and Brock, I got to say, too, you know the history of the John Deere Classic, right? I mean, it seems to be the golf tournament that the young up-and-coming players seem to thrive at for some reason. I don't know what it is. Maybe there's something in the water, so drink a lot of the water when you get there. But, I mean, you know, DeChambeau and Jordan Spieth, I mean, it just seems one after the next seem to have something going on there. So, I think good things are going to happen there for you.
Oh, yeah. I'm excited. I love it's going to be great having so many of my friends and family out there watching me. And I already know a ton of people that are going to come out for the week. So that'll be awesome to be up there with them. it's just another tournament, but I'm really looking forward to that one. It's going to be fun to hang out with all the guys out there and maybe meet Zach Johnson in person, hang out with a couple of buddies I have out there. So it'll be really fun.
I think looking down at those tee markers that are shaped like tractors is inspiring. So you want to golf instead of becoming a farmer. Guys are like, oh, God, if I don't win this tournament, I have to be a farmer.
Exactly right.
All right, Brock, one more question before you go. Since you are from Augusta University, and it is in Augusta, Georgia, how many times have you played Augusta National?
I played it four times. Gotten very lucky to go out four times.
Do you ever get out on Augusta Country Club and want to sneak through and get over to like 12 green and 13 tee?
Yeah, when you walk on 9 fairway, you always make that little trip over to the fence over there so you can look out down Amen Corner. all the time, pretty much. Every time that we get to play out of the country club, we look over there and we wish we were out there. But, I mean, pretty cool. Pretty fortunate to have had that opportunity.
All right, so four times you played it. What's the best score?
Shot 72. I three putted 18 to shoot even. I was not happy.
All right. Well, you know what? Just go ahead and win the John Deere Classic, and you'll be playing at Augusta next year. So don't worry about it.
Exactly right.
All right. That's Brock, man, we appreciate you coming on with us, man. You sound like an awesome kid. Good luck to you up in the McKenzie Tour up in Canada this year. And thanks for coming on, and congratulations again on the win.
Yeah, thank you so much. Thanks for having me on. Have a good one, guys.